Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to this journey together. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion about the issue of the day. We'll be talking about dominion, deceit, and damages. In short, we're talking about the election fraud of 2020. Perhaps you did not know that there's still a bubbling debate in relationship to who really won the presidential election in 2020. Well, I'm here to tell you the Democrats and the socialist Marxist media will not talk about it. But there's some major new revelations that I believe every conservative, every patriot, every Christian ought to be aware of. We need to recognize what is taking place and understand the scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? One of the things that the righteous can do, ladies and gentlemen, is to attempt to prevent the foundations from being destroyed. Secondly, as the Apostle Paul told young Timothy, we need to pray for those that are in charge and their leadership, presidents and potentates and prime ministers, if you will. We're to pray for them. So we can pray that God will remove Joe Biden. I mean, you might say, well, that's not the Christian thing to do. Well, I believe the scripture is very, very clear in that 1 Timothy text that we're to do so that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is necessary for us to do today is to pray, perhaps as never before, for our nation, that God will intervene and that God will give us wisdom as to what he would have us to do. And that in that wisdom, that we would recognize what is taking place and be actively involved as salt and light in the society in which we're living in. Let me read you that verse in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Ladies and gentlemen, in the analysis of that text, we as Christians, let me add to that, Christians, conservatives, patriots, we need to pray, ladies and gentlemen, that God would allow us, we the people, to live a quiet and peaceable life. And part of that is praying, God, would you intervene? God, would you be involved in the making right of those things that have been done that are illegitimate, those things that are wrong? The coup that was taken, that took place in November of 2020, that allows us to have the Manchurian president, the Trojan horse, Sleepy Joe, China Joe, whatever name you want to give him, that's an illegitimate, unelected president that's destroying the nation. By the way, there are a lot of people today, and I don't know if you've been noticing the news, and some of those Republicans with the hair on fire, that's talking about what Biden is doing, that he's doing this, he's doing that, and he's doing the other. And he's Joe Biden's in a crisis moment. All around him is crises taking place, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Joe Biden and his puppeteers, he's the puppet, and his puppeteers, they do not see it as a crisis. The border crisis, as we call it, is not a crisis for them. The financial crisis is not a crisis for them. The inflationary spiral and crisis is not a crisis for them. The fact that companies that are opening, businesses that are opening, shops and stores and restaurants that are opening and cannot hire workers because the people are getting paid two, three times what they would make working from the federal coffers, that's not a crisis for them. It's orchestrated, planned, and developed, and it's being carried out, ladies and gentlemen, to the letter of the socialist Marxist agenda for the overthrow and of the Constitutional Republic, that is, the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a stench in the nostrils of God as what we see taking place. In fact, in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and the 34th verse, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach, that is, a dishonor, a sham, a shame, an insult, a stench to any people. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. We're looking at the Word of God. That ought to be the guide for us. That ought to be the guidebook. That ought to be the plan book. That ought to be the blueprints for our life and living. What does the Word of God say? I'm always amazed at Christians that will say, well, I don't know what to do. Where should I turn? Et cetera, et cetera. So many turn to shrinks and psychiatrists and counselors and so forth and so on, not realizing, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow, some way, we need to turn to God first and foremost. It is a sham and a scam that is taking place in society today that causes we the people to suffer as a result of it. We need to be salt and light. We need to understand what God would have us to do and be busy about doing it. And going back to the truth is what we ought to focus on. Jesus, as he speaks to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. And further he elaborates on that. In John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to direct our lives and our footsteps. The secularist George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that taking place today in the society in which we're living in. In fact, former Senator Jim DeMint, I'm looking at a headline, Jim DeMint warns America's decline linked to the death of truth. He says, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of the Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of the Bible-based Christianity. And then he goes on to cite a time when he was in a church and the preacher basically challenged the veracity and the integrity and the reliability of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a statement that I believe we need to recognize today. He says, therefore, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's what we need to do today. We need to make a determination, come to the conclusion in our hearts and lives, that truth is going to be our guide. We're going to stand for truth, speak the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a full staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the landscape lawn care equipment for professionals as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark there. There's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag and flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Tools.com. Tools for Time.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. Very important subject we're talking about today. Very important issue that we're dealing with today. that I believe every Christian needs to understand, because the media has blacked out anything to do with the recounting of the audits of the ballots found in several of the battleground states across America, where President Trump supposedly lost by a landslide to Sleepy Joe, to China Joe, and it simply is not the case. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an election fraud, and it's not should not be that which should be diminished, swept under the rug, or forgotten. Ladies and gentlemen, the Communist Network News is not going to report to you the continuing legal battles that's being waged across these battleground states and dealing with the 2020 election, especially with the president's election, and where President Donald J. Trump was beaten by a coup that was purposely carried out by the Socialist Marxist Communist BLM Democratic Party. They would have you to believe, ladies and gentlemen, there's no evidence of election fraud in the 2020 election. In fact, there were about 61 different suits filed across the battleground states by different parties, different states, different counties, about 61 suits that were filed. Some of them were fast-tracked for the Supreme Court. And yet you heard the Socialist Marxist Communist Network News saying there's no evidence of fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, evidence has never been presented to any court in America. The judges summarily refused to hear any evidence. John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, personally, individually, single-handedly, refused to allow any of the cases to be brought by a portion of the Supreme Court, much less the whole seated 9 members of the U.S. Supreme Court. They're claiming there's no evidence of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if there's no evidence of fraud, why the hair on fire by the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party? If there's no evidence of fraud, if they're not concerned about fraud being shown up, then why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that across America we're finding state after state after state introducing and passing new election laws? Why is it that we have H.R. 1 and the U.S. House of Representatives already passed and in the Senate, waiting for one single senator? All it takes, one more senator, to vote on H.R. 1. H.R. 1 happens to be the most devastating election bill, election law. It will federalize all elections across America. It will take away states' rights. It will allow the Socialist Marxist Democrats to be in charge forever. It will place it in the position that taxpayers will pay the hundreds of millions of dollars for the elections in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the most dangerous bill, next to H.R. 5. It's the most dangerous bill that could ever be in the U.S. Senate. Here's an article that says, no evidence of election fraud, 2020, ? In 43 states across the country, Republican lawmakers have proposed at least 250 laws that would limit mail-in ballots, early in-person ballots, and on election day voting, with such constraints as stricter ID requirements, limited hours of, and narrower eligibility to vote on absentee ballots. According to the data compiled as of February the 19th by the Nonpartisan Center for Justice, even more proposals have been introduced since then. If 43 states see the emergency need to enact new election laws to enforce longstanding election laws governing free, fair, and transparent elections in the USA, clearly they know something went horrifically wrong in the 2020 election, making such measures necessary for all future elections. This article reads further. And if 43 states know something was very wrong in the 2020 elections, then all 43 states should be working to uncover what went wrong. Who is responsible for it? Who are we to hold responsible and fully accountable for the 2020 end to the legitimate elections in America? The simple fact is this: if an election process was unlawful, fraudulent, unfair, non-transparent, and therefore unconstitutional, then so are the results of that election across America. The end, this writer says. Ladies and gentlemen, that succinctly states it. We're going to be talking about that today. Love to have your call, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion. Perhaps you have evidence, information that I've not had the privilege of researching or discovering. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Brother Davis here.
Good morning, Brother Davis. Good to hear from you.
I am so very blessed on today. This is another day that the Lord has made, and in spite of all the lies, I choose to rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Dr. Youngblood, it is so embarrassing to me. Let me just say this, because I saw a newsflash that Franklin Graham has chosen to take sides with these people that are putting information out there about the coronavirus shot, that he's going to convince the evangelicals, along with the Biden administration, of course, to take the shot. I don't think that that's a stance that his dad would have taken. So I'm so embarrassed for him. And it's so vital and important for our leaders in the church, especially, to stand up for the truth, to let the people of God know the truth in all situations so that we don't continue to have our rights violated and to just walk around in darkness. I mean, as though, you know, we don't know what the truth is. And it's just, to me, it's terribly embarrassing. And that's what I wanted to say about that situation.
Well, brother, you're exactly right. In fact, I'll not take a stand for the inefficient, ineffective, death-prevailing vaccination that now, according to all of the latest reports that we can gather and the research that's available, that we are finding 20 times more deaths from the coronavirus vaccine than in the past 20 years of all deaths combined from other vaccines. So I am bothered by, concerned by anybody that will advocate for that. Of course, I understand that across the nation, the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic, Communist Party, they're advocating for that. They're paying pastors and churches and social leaders to encourage people to take the vaccination. But I'm against it. I don't mind telling anybody. I'm a no-vaxxer, and I am absolutely appalled by the number of people that are falling for the demonic lie with that and finding major, major, major results physically in the impairments. And I believe there'll be impairments and physicality problems far into the future as a result of this vaccination. And yet they're fast-tracking now for full FDA approval. And once they have full FDA approval, you watch what I'm telling you, there will be a federal mandate that everybody be forced to take the vaccination. That's the only thing that's preventing that forced factor today. But you're exactly right, brother. Thank you. Go ahead.
Again, you know, it's when I look at Franklin Graham, Dr. Youngblood, being the type of leader that, you know, he is, I mean, that he was born and bred. He comes from, I call it a thoroughbred family, you know, being that, you know, that is Evangelist Billy Graham's son. And I believe he entrusted everything into his hands when he knew he was on his way to heaven. But for him and others, you know, like him, you know, we are dependent. Every church, I mean, we are dependent upon one another. It doesn't matter about the denomination or anything like that. All of us have to be holy. God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So it doesn't matter whether you're a Baptist or Pentecostal, Presbyterian, whatever the denomination might be. We all have to be holy, and we have to stand united. And it's terrible when our leaders, I mean, for me, it seems like a betrayal, you know, for them to jump on the other side. I mean, I don't know if it's because of government funding or if he's, you know, gotten paid, you know, to do this, or if this is something that he's volunteered to do. But for me, just like Andy Stanley, you know, it's embarrassing for me to see these guys that comes from a thoroughbred family of evangelicals to flip over and to, you know, start, you know, taking the other side, looking at things from a different perspective other than the way that they have been taught. So
absolutely.
Well,
going back to Franklin Graham, I think with Franklin Graham, it's simply a naivete that he's saying that. In fact, I don't know if it was Graham or another one that said that if Jesus ran the world today, he'd take the vaccination. That's an absolute scam. And a wrong thought about who Jesus is. Jesus is God.
Amen.
Jesus, as God, wouldn't have to take a vaccination, number one.
Amen.
So it's a farce to make that kind of statement. But all we can do is keep praying, brother. And I warn everybody each and every day of these issues that we're talking with. Do you believe, by the way, switching gears for a moment, do you believe that there was fraud in the election in 2020?
Yes, sir. I mean, all of the evidence was there, you know, even before they did the investigation that they are doing right now. And it's terribly embarrassing, again, to have leaders elected, like in the Supreme Court. And the, even the others, you know, that President Trump himself nominated, they seem to turn their backs on him. That just seems like, you know, such a terrible injustice to him after he had gone through everything he went through to help them to get nominated, you know, to the Supreme Court, that they wouldn't even stand up, you know, on his behalf. But yes, I mean, even back then, before he left the office, I mean, there was widespread evidence there, but nobody seemed to want to take the initiative to look at it. So now that they're looking at it, I mean, I have to wonder, what will their stance be once they really find out the truth?
Absolutely, and I'm praying every day that they'll continue to unpack the deceit and the coup that took place, and I am prayerful that God will vindicate us as a nation. The bottom line is, the difficulty is, the disdaining factor is, that even if we discover that the election was stolen, and it was in fact stolen, there's no a fix for it from our constitutional standpoint. Once a candidate has been certified by the Senate, there is no changing of it. And so Joe Biden is in office until and if and until the he terms out or until God removes him. But nevertheless, I'm prayerful that we'll find the truth in these uncovering through the audits in Maricopa County and Michigan and other states, Wisconsin and other states across America. I've got about 60-some-odd articles that validate what I'm talking about today in relationship to the theft of the election and what's been uncovered in the new audits and the new counting of that. So, brother, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your continued ministry and impact on lives across the nation, and especially in your part of the nation where you live and have the opportunity to minister and serve. Thank you, brother, and God bless you today. I believe we have Jim on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, how are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. Well, I do believe that you're right. Jesus would not get that vaccination. As a matter of fact, every knee would be bowed and every mouth would be confessing his name if he was here. So
Amen.
That takes care of that.
Absolutely.
As far as the gene therapy, no, not going to do it. I saw something this disturbing. I don't know the veracity of it, and I don't know if there's any truth behind it, but I saw a video the other day, and you can look this up and view it yourself there. I couldn't discern whether it was a hoax or not, but apparently some people are claiming that the sites of the vaccination are now magnetic. They're taking refrigerator magnets and putting them on the site, and they're actually sticking. When I watched that, I was really disturbed because only one thing sticks to metal or magnets, and that's metal. So I don't know if it's a hoax, but that was bothersome.
It could very well be a hoax. It's so far out, it's hard to grasp and put your hands on and to handle and understand it and assimilate it in the mind that it is possible. It's not outside the realm of impossibility, and knowing where we're going and the fast track that we're on to get there ultimately with the mark that is found in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, and we're watching the precursor of it. But sometimes some of these folks out there will put things on online with videos to see how many people will buy it and restate it. I knew of a radio broadcaster of a number of years ago. It was broadcasting on about 1,000 stations nationwide. It was not a Christian broadcaster, but he admitted one day that when he put his newsletters up, when he put his blogs up in printed form, he said, this is a quote from him, he said, I will put an error, an absolute staring, glaring error in what I say and what I write to see who's going to read it and use it and quote it, not researching it themselves. And I found that fascinating then, and I believe that's what some will do today, just to see what they can get people to repeat that's an absolute fallacious, fabricated statement. So it could be right, but I've not read that. I've not seen the video, and it could be factual. We do not know. What do you think about the election? Do you believe the election was stolen? If so, how do you think it took place?
I believe that it was stolen. I believe that there was five states, and of those states there was five major metropolitan areas where they knew. I mean, basically Trump's ahead they stopped counting in five states, and they knew he was ahead. And all of a sudden, when we wake up the next morning, he's behind. I believe that there was a coordinated effort to stuff mail-in ballots there. I do believe that I would almost bet my life that a majority of those mail-in ballots do not actually have a person that's affiliated with them. You know, these drop boxes were unmonitored there. I've heard of several instances of chain of custody being broken in these areas. I'm a firm believer that Trump won that election, and it was probably along the lines of about 74 million for Trump and maybe 59, 60 for resident Sippy Cup.
Yep, absolutely. In fact, I find it fascinating that you say that, because, you know, there's major audits taking place. The one that is the most high profile is in Maricopa County in Arizona, 2.1 million ballots that they were hand counting. Socialist Marxist BLM Democrats had over 100 attorneys from the Cooey law firm out of D.C. that went in and started filing suits. They filed 10 or 15 suits now. They've tried to slow it down or stop it. And my question to all Democrats and any that may be listening today, my question is, if there's not an error, if there's not fraud, if there's not something illegal, why are you concerned about the recount? Why are you concerned about the forensic analysis of the voting machines? Why is it that after the Senate's already gotten the courts to issue a subpoena for all of the documents and the records, why is it that they are refusing to turn over documents and evidence? Why is it that the Democrats are now so concerned about it and claiming that the audit is illegal, the audit shouldn't be done, that the audit should be ceased, should be stopped, and they're trying to get judges to stop it, et cetera, et cetera? If you don't have anything to hide, why would you try to continue to cover what has taken place in the election? That's my question.
Oh, that's an easy one to answer.
Yes, absolutely. We know why the hair's on fire and why they're screaming now, foul, foul.
The first thing that comes to mind is that old World War II adage there. You're always going to get flack over the target, right? So,
yes.
Yeah, that's a real easy one to answer.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, thank you so much for your call and for your input, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I'm looking at an article, ladies and gentlemen. It says Trump releases a new statement saying the 2020 election will go down as the crime of the century. More than 6 months after the election, former President Donald J. Trump revised the subject of the 2020 presidential contest on Saturday with the blazing trio of statements. First of all, he says, as our country is being destroyed, both inside and out, the presidential election of 2020 will go down as the crime of the century. Trump also cited the Wall Street Journal story headlined, Trump Biden was worst presidential polling polling missed in 40 years. And goes on to talk about the polls, how the polls were way off, and the polls were used simply to cause a bias in the election process. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what took place. In fact, if you go back and you study the history of polling, you'll find that went back to Adolf Hitler. And he would formulate what he called the polls, and where they were supposed to polling the people. That would be formulated overnight. The next morning, it would be publicized through the fake news in Germany of that era and caused the people to believe that there was a major mass movement to put Adolf Hitler in position of leadership for the nation. And they did that based on the so-called polls. It's where you fabricate numbers. And there are a lot of these companies are supposed to be legitimate polling organizations. They're still doing the same thing that Hitler did. It is designed to bias one's opinion as to what is taking place in an election for the election to come out as they want it to come out. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our conversation today. Dominion, we're talking about Dominion voting system, Dominion, deceit, and damages, the election fraud of 2020. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.